strengthened now and guided and taught for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you for these prayers. Amen. We're on. Amen. Well, only got a few verses to go on this one. Pardon? Yes, I did. Last week I went a long ways. Oh, wrong book. Chapter 9. Okay. Now, we ended the last time in chapter 8 showing that these people were idolaters. And they went to Dan, Beersheba. Now, we're talking about the 10 northern tribes. You know, they had the place at Bethel and Dan set up. And then they went to Beersheba, evidently, to... Well, they didn't go there. People in Beersheba offered up incense to who knows who. Chapter 9, I saw, just like verse 1-1, he's again seeing these visions. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. So Amos says, I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. What altar is he talking about? I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. What altar is he talking about? He's talking about the altar where it's either in Dan or Bethel where the false worship goes on. He's right there and he's going to kill these idolaters. He's going to wipe them out. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar and he said, smite the lintel. The lintel is a horizontal beam that forms the top of a window or a door frame. So it's the top part and then you have the two side posts. He says, smite the lintel of the door that the posts may shake. And he's going to show them some bad things are going on here. And cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. So he's really after these people. 2 Kings chapter 10, 29. And 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33, shows where the false worship goes on. 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33, and 2 Kings chapter 10, 29. Then in our book, in 3:14, God says this, that in that day I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him. I will also visit the altars of Bethel. You see? He's going to visit them places. And the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house. See, he's smiting. He hit the doors of the lintel. Amen? And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. So he's going through, wiping out their houses, wiping out the people. He's just taking care of everything. 7:10 in our book of Amos. 7:10 says, then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. See? Same context. He's got the sword out after people here. And then in 5:5, Amos 5:5, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. And that's what happens. He's upset now, and he's going after these people. Then he says, I'm going to slay the last of them with the sword, and the people that flee, if they go to hell or heaven or Carmel or the sea, any place they're going to go, I'm going to find them. Now, physically, it wouldn't have been, as far as I know, at that time, the ability for these guys to go to heaven. Or maybe not even go to the bottom of the sea. But today they sure could. You'd be out in space, you could be in the bottom of the sea, you could be any place. So this may have some future implications for people, but he may be just using a figurative saying, anywhere you go, no, heaven, hell, high water, no matter what, whatever goes on, boy, you're going to get it, you know, no matter where you go. And then Psalms 139, verse 8 says, he inhabits both heaven, and he's every place. There's no place you can hide from his spirit. In Jeremiah 23, 24, I'll read them. No matter where these people can go, no one's going to be able to hide from God, in the past or in the future. Psalms 139:8 says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He's every place. Yes, Psalms 139:8 and Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? There's no place you're going to hide from him. Look, you can't keep your thoughts from him. You can't keep your heart motives from him. You can't keep nothing from him. You ain't going to hide, amen? You can't keep them invisible things from him. You're sunk. There ain't no place you can hide physically, and it won't work. Verse 4, and though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword. Now the sword in 1 Chronicles 21:12 and Deuteronomy 28 verses 58 through 68 is what? You know? Sure you know. Pestilence. 1 Chronicles 21:12 and Deuteronomy 28 58 through 68. Deuteronomy 28:58 starts out like this. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as The Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. So in 1 Chronicles 21:12, it talks about the sword of the Lord being the plague. And then Deuteronomy talks about these plagues come from on people because they wouldn't do the things that God wanted them to do. Now it looks like, he says, I'll set my eyes upon them for evil, not for good. And what's said back there in Deuteronomy 28? He says, as I rejoice over you, do you good, and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. Amen. He's rejoicing in your destruction? That'd be a rough way to take it, huh? He'll laugh when your calamity comes, mock when your fear comes. No one to mess with, you know that? Because he's the only one can help you. And when you get in a situation like that, where you really need God's help, and he's sitting there laughing at you, you know you're not going to get prayer through, amen? I mean, just not going to make it, man. It's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. You are in trouble. Now, the second part, starting in verse 5, looks like the second coming. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall what? Melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise, it what shall rise up? The earth that has melted. And it shall rise up wholly like a flood of molten lava. You know that hasn't happened yet. You know that place, Vesuvius, Pompeii, whatever the place is that got covered up with a volcano? Yeah, volcano's a long way off of them jokers, you know it? You know, it went off, and those guys, they were eating and everything, man, encased in lava and soot, just as they ate and, you know, did everything. That stuff travels quick, boy. I mean, I don't know if you can outrun lava coming downhill, man. That might be about it. I don't know how fast that stuff goes, but can you imagine the earth belching out that molten hot lava? It'd be like a big bomb going off. I mean, it'd take a lot of power for that to happen. Well, this lava is going to be like a flood when he comes back. It shall rise up wholly like a flood and shall be drowned. The land's going to be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Now, Jeremiah 46:29 talks about, well, let me read it to explain what it might be as the flood of Egypt. Jeremiah 46:29. Hey, can't be 29. Jeremiah 46:29. No 29, amen? Can't work that one out. Too bad. 46:29 is what I have written down. Well, whatever the verse. Yeah, that one might work out. I don't know why. Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. That's the one it was. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof, like the flood of Egypt, like what they planned to do, is just cover everything. And that's what is going to happen when this stuff melts. It's going to cover everything. 46:8. Jeremiah 46:8. Jim, I don't know about you, but I can just see those people right now, wherever this this happens, man, they're in trouble. If anybody could be around to as far as I know, it sure will. Yeah, I'm going to go over a meltdown, amen. Well, I might as well do it now. Melt means to be changed from a solid to a liquid state by the application of heat, pressure, or both. Melt, to be changed from a solid to a liquid state by the application of heat, pressure, or both. Now we'll just go through a few things on what will melt when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Judges 5, Song of Deborah, I think it is, talks about a future prophecy or something that will happen in the future. Judges chapter 5, verses 4 through 5 says this, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai and from before the Lord God of Israel. You know Sinai hasn't melted yet, amen? It's going to melt one of these days. Judges chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. Then Psalms 46. Six through nine says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Psalms 97:5. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Psalms 97, verse 5. Isaiah 64, 1 through 3. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Boy, everybody sees anything like that, I'd be in shock. Just the presence of God. The earth melts. I mean, you know you're in the presence of somebody with power, amen. Ain't nobody just calling down fire from heaven, man. His just very presence burns everybody up. Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. The burden, starting with verse 1, the burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He will reserve wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. I believe the flood is the fire. that melts this land. Talking about some real bad things here. Now, why does all this happen? Amos chapter 8, verse 4. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat? The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a what? Flood. And it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. See, same context. That's why I put that flood of Egypt in there. Show you, that's the type of judgment he's bringing upon these people. Verse 6. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? In Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, these Ethiopians were idolaters. Are ye not, and I told you in chapter 8, they were idolaters. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? This is where he brought these people up from. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. So this sinful kingdom he's talking about is this Israel. He's not going to utterly destroy them, but he's going to wipe them out pretty close. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, send them into captivity, just like talked about earlier in the chapter. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. He's saying no one's going to escape from these things. Everybody's involved in this. No one's going to get away. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And that's the way most people are. They think, man, there ain't no God. There ain't no hell. There ain't no heaven. It's only what you see right here. They just deny that there's any type of judgment going to come upon them for anything they've ever done wrong. That there's no one really taking account of the things that they do wrong. But there is. I mean, they can say that all they want, amen? Everybody in the whole world can get together, 99% of them, and say, there's no God, there's no heaven, no one's going to be judged for anything, you're crazy. Well, no, you're crazy, amen? You've proved it by what you said, because there is a God, there is a hell. People go to hell when they die unless they get saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. There's no way anybody's going to get out of that. Not today. Proverbs chapter 11, 21 says this. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. These people say, oh, the evil shall not come. Or, hey, it's not going to stop us from doing that. I'm doing it anyway, folks. I'll take my lunch when they come. Right now, I'm just going to enjoy it. But the Bible says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. It says, you can get together all you want and say what you want to say. It ain't going to work. You're going into captivity. Proverbs chapter 16, 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. These are proud people say that stuff. Verse 11, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. So we got a few things to consider here in these two verses. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David. Now, a tabernacle is a house, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. It's a house. I'll read some of these to you. Numbers 24:5 says, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel." I mean, he's said the house of David, amen. That's, he has a house, his family. You mean, could mean his lineage, his house, or his home, tabernacle. Job 11:14. Might as well go there, because I'm going to read the next verse anyway. Job 11:14 says, "If iniquity be in thine house, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles." That's good for anybody, amen. There's things in your house that are wicked, playboy, quee, whatever. The who can even pronounce the dumb things? Hustler, wee. You have some of those things in there. You have some SOF magazines with girly pictures in them. You know, get rid of stuff, amen. You have cable TV, gets all them 43 or whatever other channels they are on the Hell Nation network. You know, get rid of that thing. You have a TV, get rid of that thing. TV is of the devil, that's for sure. And it's been proved conclusively by whatever the filth that's trafficked into people's homes in the United States of America, day in, day out, 24 hours a day. He says, get rid of all that stuff. Anything that's wicked, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it away, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Anything you got in your house that's wicked, you know it's bad. I mean, you may have stole something, amen, you still got it in your house. Get rid of it, amen, break it, throw it away, do something with it, pay, send the person some money for it, whatever you did, get rid of it. There's a lot of things that we just carry into our house, end up being wicked. Open up the newspaper, and put it in the trash, amen. Well, they got naked women all over the place. Yeah, that's all it is just to entice you just to look at what it is. Then they know if they can get you a look, you might think, well, maybe I do need that. But they need you to look, amen. If you don't look, there's no way for them to get you. Job 22:23 says, "If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles." You got children, you need to get rid of junk. Amen? Whatever it could be, you need to get rid of it. Anything that even looks like it'd be a bad deal, you need to get rid of it. VCR is a real bad thing. I tell you what. Brother, I tell you what. What these Christians do today, they say, "Oh, I'll get that VCR and just watch preaching." And then they see all these ads in magazines where you can get all these movies for $29. You can get The Wizard of Oz. Well, that'd be a pretty good thing to do to get for my kids to make sure they... Gentlemen, I tell you what, you look at those video things, you could spend fortunes on that stuff. And if I hadn't got saved when I got saved, I would have had a video. I had a whole library of movies because I was movie nuts. Pardon? A monitor? What did I say? What did he say? You want me to get on video monitors now? You want me to get on video monitors now? Listen, bro, you want to cross over between monitors and computers, then I'll be in trouble, amen? We don't want to go too far. So we just better stick to VCRs. You know them jokers can pick up a regular TV station without a TV? I didn't know that until just a short time ago. What? I didn't know it either, brother. They can pick up regular TV channels. You can just have one of them jokers in your home and videotape a TV program. You don't have a TV. Yep. I didn't know that stuff. What's wrong, brother? Yeah, no kidding. So you're right. Who said? Who brought up that point that videos, VCRs are bad? Chris? You're right, Chris. They are real bad. Honestly. They go in the library and get them, amen? Go to the library and get them. You read in magazines. Now they got them flooded magazines. You can get these VCR clubs and get those videos for $29. That's pretty down low for an individual to be able to get a whole movie, you know? And bring it in at home and keep it and play it over and over. How many times can you see a dumb movie, amen?
Maybe I don't have it, but I know someplace down the road, there's no way I'd be able to resist seeing these movies that I wanted to be in and knew I could go in the
business. That's right. Hey, I would do it too. There's no doubt about that. If I had a VCR, I know somebody, some spiritual friend, will pop one of them magazines in my lap, shows me where I'd get all these things at a good deal. And I'd be right there, a few of those things I'd want. Amen? You can't pick up no catalog, hardly any catalog, and not look and want something. So, I... Yeah, I know what you mean, man. You have to keep them in a brown wrapper and let your wife look through them. I haven't seen hardly any. I bet I was. Really, I'm glad I've never been able to see the last 10 almost, well, probably 10 and a half years, what's on TV. But that stuff getting your little old bony brain and never get out. It putrefy and sicken you and ruin you spiritually. Anybody can watch that stuff and keep going. Something's wrong with them. There really is. They have just lost some type of spirituality because your own conscience tells you that after a while this is getting to be too much. And if really what goes on, which I hear goes on, I got that tape at home. Can you tell about that woman that her husband left her or something like that? She had a couple kids and watched TV. And see, I got tape from when he preached at his church, not down at camp meeting. And so the woman told him flatly that she'd be there sitting watching TV. A spiritual being come up, sit on the couch with her, put his arm around her. He that's what he said on that tape. Brings in. Yeah. Well, I can look at TV and all you see, everything's real quick moves up, but I remember when I watched TV, everything was fluid. Your eyes get adjusted to it. My eyes aren't adjusted to it now, and all you see is all the imperfections of it. But when you watch it for a while, your mind glosses over those imperfections and makes it look nice and even and consistent. And that must be the way it is when people watch it so long. They take the bad things that are there and somehow justify them or ignore them or don't pay attention to them, or they become something that's commonplace. But you can't take nudity and present it to a man or a woman and not have it have some effect. I mean, it's serious, deteriorous, detrimental effect. How do we get on that? Oh, Brother Chris. Yeah, you're right, Brother. VCR is a bad news. If I had one... Brother, I know. I don't know. Look, I don't know anybody that ever had one of the things that's not watching movies. That's right. No, well, we would all be doing that. The only thing is, you just got to stay away from it. because it's a real temptation to want to have one of those things. Because, yes?
I saw a pastor in New England. His wife was into typing. He decided to get her a home computer so she could store more material. Of course, I had to get a monitor. So a friend gave him a TV monitor. They put those kind of all before they were watching television very much. He's been editing TV for years and years and years.
Yep. But the movies that get you too. Well, everybody wants to see Rambo, don't they? Want to see what that guy finally did that everybody's talking about? Don't you want to see what he did? I'd like to see what he did. Amen. I haven't seen none of that stuff. Now we would go back to Star Trek for. Then we'd be watching that thing. See, haven't seen that show in 11 years. Here I'm. Hey, well, I was right seat. You used to get done with classes and hurry up to the room, up to the dorm, make sure I got to see Star Trek for lunch and for supper that night. Sure, we all go for that stuff. So it really is bad, but it's entered into people's lives. They got them. They've invested in them. Now they're justifying them. They're not going to give them up. There ain't no way you can do it. We can sit on this side and say, we know that's not good because we know what you're doing, but you can't tell those people that unless you have a sermon about it and then get run out of church on it. Isn't it true, brother? There's too many people. We're VCRs. We outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned. That's right, Cliff.
He's got TV in his closet
now. You got TV in your closet? Well, you know, I don't really want to intentionally step on anybody's toes in their own life, amen? They do with what their life, what they want to do. Personally, just for me, it wouldn't be a good deal. It wouldn't be a good deal.
If I had TV, I ball games come on, Bible study, reading lectures, prayer, reading lectures.
Really, I don't have no time now, and I don't know where time goes, man. I can't figure out how a date can slip by so quick. I mean, not slipping, man, it's running by.
I have guys that work at me. What are you doing with your time?
I have no time. It really is. It can go just like that. Anytime you get doing something spiritual, it's gone. Unless you're praying, amen. But if you're out enjoying a ball game or something like that, night lasts forever. It's real. There is a difference. I remember when I watched TV, the day is a real long day. You may watch 20 different programs in a day, but it's a real long day because it was just a long day for some reason, but now it's not longer anymore. It's not long anymore. Okay, I got to get going or we'll never get done. Yeah, next week, amen? You know fun, Jim. Tabernacle is a house. This guy laughs too much for my heart. He's up there up to something, amen? He's probably laughing and erasing the tape. Okay, Matthew 17. Yes. And after six, VCR tabernacle. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John his brother and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Excuse me, with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. He talked about building a house, a place for them to stay. Hey, are they going to stay? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses starting with 27. 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these things, well, they said that they would see the kingdom of God come in glory. And it came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, knowing not what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days of any of those things which they had seen. So, a tabernacle is a home or place where you live, or house, or, you know, something like that. What was going on? These things, they said, hey, let's build a tabernacle here for Moses and Elias and Jesus. That'd be a good deal. And then God the Father comes along and says, hey, look, we don't want you to pay no attention to the prophets right now. We don't want you to pay no attention to Moses right now. These guys aren't staying. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. See, they were trying to put Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. Said, uh-oh, ain't going to work. God stepped in and said, no. Gentlemen, you're on the wrong track, amen. These guys aren't staying. They're going to fade, and something new is going to come in and take over. The New Testament, amen. Law and prophets, they have a big part to do, but a new thing is going to be Jesus Christ and the salvation he's going to bring the world. He's the one we want you to hear. Just ease back on the prophets and the rituals and all this other type of stuff. Something new is going to take place. So a tabernacle can be a home. In Isaiah chapter 16, 1 through 5, now we're going to get off. Well, let me read, amen. I forget from one day to the next what I wrote. That's why you have to have good notes, amen. You just can't remember. Listen, if I didn't write down stuff, I wouldn't have half the information. 3/4 of it. It's got to be written down for me, at least. Isaiah 16, 1 through 5 says this. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land of Selah, to the wilderness under the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcasts dwell with thee. Moab, be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceaseth, the oppressors are consumed out of the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. So when he restores this tabernacle of David, it's going to be a throne associated with it. He's going to be sitting upon it in the kingdom, in the millennium, being a ruler, and rightfully so. And so in our text in 9:11 says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. Now we're talking about the millennium. And close up the breaches thereof, and will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now we turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Starting with verse 15, it says, well, I better go back. Let's read 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now this is, of course, when Paul and Barnabas heard some people teaching that you had to keep the law of Moses, be saved, or be circumcised, and all this stuff. Then Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem, talked to the elders and apostles about this subject right here. Then they heard these people talking and were coming down to the conclusion of what they had to say. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. How did God visit the people to take out Gentiles at the first? How did he do it? Look, it says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. How'd this happen? Well, you go back up, find out what Peter had to say. Amen. In verse 7 he says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You see? That's how God visits the Gentiles, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gentlemen, you're talking about something spiritual when you proclaim that gospel and tell people that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to Scriptures. That's how God visits people. He visits them through a person proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important for people to be able to be sent to foreign countries, to where people have never heard the gospel before, because God does want to take out of all people throughout the whole world a people for his name. But he visits them through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Once you hear that word, you have an opportunity to believe, and God visits you then. Amen? And your life can either be changed or ruined by the decisions you make in relation to the revelations that are revealed to you. Verse 14, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. See, they made, gentlemen, their decision based on facts that they found in the Scriptures. They're here at a meeting, they're trying to decide something, and they just didn't decide it up out of thin air. They went through the Scriptures and concluded some things from the Scriptures. And gentlemen, that's why I keep telling you, you have to know what the Scriptures say. You have to have a basis for what you do, and let that be your foundation. These men made a decision that was based upon the Scriptures, the Bible, King James Bible. Not then, but now, amen, ours need to be. Hey, boy, you better watch it. Talking about going back in time, I getting carried away with that stuff, amen? Yeah, amen. Okay, and it says, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Now it's talking about two prophets. Who are these prophets? We know Amos is one because we've got the same quote almost right here in Amos 9:11. But where's the other prophet? Go ahead, I'll give you a chance to look in the margin, see if you can find a reference. Zechariah. This guy don't care, he just gets it. Zechariah. Malachi. He's just going down the list, amen. How many prophets can you say? Do you get the right one? Anybody know? That's a hard question there. I should leave that for a test question. That's a good idea. It's a capital idea, isn't it? Make that a test question, make you look it up. Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, that'd be real good. I'm in verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets. See, more than one prophet he's referring to. And we have a direct quote right here in 9:11. Amos 9:11. Well, I'll go on and read. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now, in verse 17, he switches. If you compare Amos 9:12 to Acts 15:17, you'll find out he switches. The intent switches. In Amos 9:12, he says he's going to come back and build again the tabernacle of David as in the days of old. Why? That they may possess the remnant of Edom, Numbers 24, verses 17 through 18. And of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. He's coming back to build up that tabernacle of David. And when he does, then he's going to give people to the Jewish people. He's going to give the heathen, land of Edom, all those things to the Jewish people. That's why he says he's going to do that here. Now in Acts, he switches. Or they switch it. Why is he going to build up this tabernacle? That the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So, evidently in the millennium, there are going to be people that will be able to seek the Lord and call upon his name. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. The second place that's found is in Isaiah. Hope I wrote it down. Isaiah 60. Can that be? I did. I wrote down my other Bible, but I didn't write it down on this piece of paper. I guess I have to be a test question. Somebody's got some fun with you guys. That's all there is to it. Nope, I didn't write it down here either. Can't win them all. That might be a test question. What are the two prophets we're being referred to? Wouldn't hurt for you to look up one question, amen. What'd you say, brother? Yeah, I bet nothing. Okay, let's go back to Amos 9, 11, and 12. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins and will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name. Why are they going to be given control over the heathen which are called by the name of the Lord? Christians? What's the answer? Somebody's got to do some thinking around here. I want to see some smoke coming out of them little old ears. Why is it, okay, he's going to come back and build again the tabernacle of David, verse 12. Why? That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen, which are called by my name. Why are these Jews going to possess the heathen, which are called by the Lord's name? Yep, that's right. Is this Christians he's talking about then? Why are they called by his name then? I don't know myself, brother, so don't get so upset about it. he looked back at that Bible with a vengeance. Amen. I don't know either. The best thing I can figure out is that these heathen are heathen. They're just people that maybe said they were Christians or followers of Jews, something like that, but really weren't. Plenty of people like that today. And they're heathen, amen. The heathen, and of all the heathen which are called by my name. Evidently, heathen are just called whatever name he's referring to. I don't know what it is. That's the only thing I can get out of it. It's no big deal, amen? We're just crossing some bridges here, that's all. Right. Oh, yeah, I was never talking about Christians, real Christians. I'm talking about people say they were Christians, amen? Well, I threw that out. Could that be it? But I really wasn't serious about that. Well, that's a good one. Verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Well, what this shows is that there's going to be abundance of plants, and it's going to be a fruitful time, even up until the time of harvest. They're going to sow, and then, you know how you do today. You sow, you wait a few months, you get your crop, and then you wait till next year. Not going to be that way. All the way till the time to re-sow again, they're going to have fruit. It's going to be a plentiful time. There will be abundance. Leviticus 26:5 talks about this. And why will the hills melt? Because there will be so much liquid coming from the fruit that it will just make a muddy mess. Amen? 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. The planting of the Lord. In verse 15 it says, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Isaiah 61 tells about the good time that is coming for these people. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. See, other people working for them. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. They're going to be in the chariot seat this time. Amen. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord, and men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall...